Today in the Franciscan Institute, we honor all the saints of the Seraphic Order, that is, all those who came to follow the way of St. Francis of Assisi and faithfully persevered in the following of that way, and now they have joined their Seraphic Father with the other angels and saints, praising their good God together for all eternity. And when we look upon the life of St. Francis of Assisi, we are not, as it were, confronted with something hard to discern. For St. Francis returned to what is called the marrow of the gospel, that is, he followed the gospel sine glossa, that is, without any commentary. He took the words of our Lord as they were given and did not try to wrestle with them and try to make them say things that they did not say or read into them things that were not there. And so he was truly a man of the gospel. And so at a time when the world was growing cold and bitter through the vices of greed and lust, St. Francis of Assisi sought to teach the world again a way, and that way would touch the lives of many souls. The souls that would come to follow him in the first order, the religious men, the souls that would come to follow his way in the second order, the religious women who always strove to seek to imitate St. Clare of Assisi, that bright and shining star of the Franciscan Institute. But he would also touch the souls of the lay people, for lay people from all walks of life would follow the way of St. Francis in the third order. And what was the primary characteristic of all these souls? It was love of God and poverty towards the things of this world. Whether they were rich or poor, they did not look upon the things of this world as a means for their salvation, as a means for their happiness, but they looked only upon the things of God as the true means of happiness. And so they came to see, as St. Francis saw, the mystery in suffering. Indeed, St. Francis tried to begin to teach us again that we need to look upon our sufferings in a different manner. For we often look upon them as punishments, and indeed, in a certain sense, that is what they are. But more especially, St. Francis saw, we need to look on them as Scripture reveals them. Our first parents had fallen. They had no means to find their way back to heaven unless someone else came and did the work for them. And so the Lord would come and do the work for us, and then we had to unite something to the sacrifice and suffering that he would undergo for ourselves. And so St. Francis saw the toil that was added to our labors, the pains in childbirth, as a means for us to unite ourselves to the suffering of Jesus Christ. And that's why St. Francis is truly called a lover of the cross, because he knew that suffering was a means by which we cooperate with the mission of Christ in our own salvation. And so we must, as it were, unite our sufferings to the sufferings of the Lord, for then it is elevated. Indeed, St. Francis would say that the greatest consolation that the Christian can have is no consolation at all. Rather, it is the cross. And so the more we enter into the mystery of the cross, the more we enter into the mystery of love, that love that would drive St. Francis to leave no stone of suffering unturned. He would truly be a man who would drink to the dregs, and all those saints of the Seraphic Order were the ones who faithfully followed him in drinking to the dregs the sufferings that the Lord would send into their lives. And so they would begin to establish a most marvelous mystery to be seen in Christianity. For it was the marvel of St. Francis that in this love of suffering, this love of poverty, he began to see the things of the world in their true way and in their true light. And so it was at the inspiration of St. Francis of Assisi that many of the devotions came about in the church, the decoration of the church with flowers. Indeed, St. Francis had such a profound and delicate and practical love of the Blessed Sacrament that the brothers would have to carry brooms with them, and when they would come across a church that had fallen into an untidy state, they were to tidy it up, for the Lord of all goodness dwelt in that abode. And so his love of the sacraments was a true love of the sacraments, and it encompassed every aspect of it. Indeed, it even included keeping tidy those places where the greatest of all sacrament was to be. Indeed, St. Francis would require of all those who would follow him an examination of their faith so that they would truly be shown to hold the Catholic faith. He would begin his rule for the brothers, the sisters, and also he would require of the lay people that they be noted for their filial devotion to the Vicar of Christ, that they would love him as children love their father, because he understood very profoundly the mystery that Christ had revealed in the Vicar of Christ, that one man stands alone against all the greeds and lusts of the world, that is, the successor of St. Peter, for he alone has been given a grace by Almighty God to be preserved from making any error in regards to faith and morals when he acts and speaks as the Vicar of Christ. And so St. Francis would truly be devoted to him like a child was to his father, for he knew that it was through the Vicar that our faith and our morals are preserved. And so he was truly a holy Catholic and apostolic man, and all those who would come to follow his way of life would show themselves to be the same. For they would all drink to the dregs the suffering the Lord sent them. They would all uphold and defend the Catholic faith. There are untold martyrs in the Seraphic Order from all levels, the First Order, the Second Order, and the Third Order, because they would again embrace those doctrines that St. Francis would bring to light. They would not deny their good King, and in their love for the Sacred Heart, they would not risk losing that safe abode by which they would, where they alone knew they were safe from their sins. And so many of the modern devotions that we see in the church are rooted in the spirituality of St. Francis. St. Bonaventure was preaching devotion to the Sacred Heart before it was revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And the devotion to the wounds of Christ were very common. The way of the cross, indeed, would be given and developed by a son of St. Francis. Almost all the modern devotions in their popular expression are rooted in the spirituality of St. Francis, for he was such a holy Catholic and apostolic man, there was not one aspect of the life of Christ and of the Blessed Virgin Mary that was not dear to him and in some way was reflected in his life. And so, in all those saints of the Seraphic Order, that same life was manifested, the love of Christ crucified and the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who undergood that incredible torment at the foot of the cross also for our sake. And so St. Francis saw in the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts the means of our salvation and the hope that is in us. And so let us strive, like St. Francis and all the saints of the Seraphic Order, to follow his way. For popes have blessed the way of St. Francis. Popes have blessed the spirituality of St. Francis. Popes have constantly held out the Third Order of St. Francis as the means by which the world can truly be drawn from its lust and from its greed and put back on the way of salvation. And so let us strive to follow the way. For the way of St. Francis touches every aspect of human life. It touches our spiritual, it touches us the spiritual as well as the temporal. It seeks to organize all of society in the most special way so that all of society expresses a love for God, and hence all of society becomes a means by which we are safely protected under the mantle of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And so let us strive to seek the love of St. Francis, that love that burned in all the saints of the Seraphic Order, touch each and every soul in some way and in some aspect, so that again Christendom can be built up, and so again that charity which St. Francis sought to bring to every nook and corner of the world, which all his faithful followers sought to bring, and indeed it can truly be said have brought, for the missionary activity in this nation, first and foremost, was done by the sons of St. Francis. The missionary activity in South America also done by the sons of St. Francis. and the beginning, as it were, of the missionary activity in China, which has yet to be completed in the mystical body of Christ, again was first carried out by the sons of St. Francis. And so they would go everywhere in the world, paving the way for other missionaries to come, for other orders of the Church to come, in order to bring the word of the gospel to all nations and to all kingdoms. For St. Francis truly had a maternal love for all souls. He truly was transubstantiated into the Immaculate, for he found a way in which the mission of Christ would go to all lands and to all peoples, and because he knew that it was the mission of the Mother to save all lands and all peoples. And so his sons would strive to bring about that love and devotion to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, which is truly the beginning of the Christian life. And indeed, St. Francis anticipated, saw in his own life before St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe would give it proper expression, that we are to entrust ourselves to the Mother of God. We are to consecrate ourselves entirely to her, not as some passive veil by which we pass to Christ, but as an ends in itself. We give ourselves to the Immaculate, and we need go further, for St. Francis understood that she will give us to the Eternal Father, she will give us to the Son, and so she will ultimately bring us to Calvary, where we too, embracing our sacrifices and our sufferings, as the Lord first did for us, would be recognized as true children of the Father. And so, at the end of his life, St. Francis would be seen winging his way directly to heaven, because the Father saw in the Seraphic Father, the patriarch of all the Franciscan saints, he saw complete and total imitation of his Son. And so St. Francis had no more sin, no more fault, no more failing to make expiation for, because he gave himself totally to the Mother of God, as the Savior gave himself first totally to the Mother of God, and then he gave himself totally for us. And so he truly showed the wounds of Christ in his own body. And for St. Francis, that literally meant the stigmata of Christ. He was the only saint so far in the history of the Church who maintained those wounds after his life on this earth ended. And so we have great reason to rejoice, because we have such a model of holiness, a model that many souls aspired and attained to imitate. And so now they truly are members of the angelic choir. And so we pray this day that each and every member of the mystical body may in some way be touched by the spirit of St. Francis, so that they too may safely journey through this life, and after a life of suffering and penance, that is, after a life of love on this earth, love of Jesus crucified, they may gain that life in eternity, which has no suffering, which has no sacrifice. It is merely the pure love by which we see God as he truly is.